Hi, I'm Megan Hillica, a grieving mother turned grief coach. I now support, guide, and offer tools to navigate the unthinkable of child loss to other moms who also know this pain. I help you go from empty, lost, and broken to learning to carry your grief and live alongside it. If there's one thing I want you to see, it's hope. Hope that there's life after loss. Hope that there's so much more for you. And encouragement that you're normal. All of this is possible, along with never forgetting or moving on from your baby or child. I'm holding on to hope for you until you are ready to hold it yourself. Welcome to Grieving Moms Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another podcast episode on Grieving Moms Podcast. Today, our guest is someone that I reached out to on Instagram, and I just have to say up front, I've never talked to him before. I actually don't know much about his story or him. I know a little bit, but I really was looking for a father who is willing to share and who is talking about his grief and loss, because I know on this podcast, I talk a lot to a lot of mothers and their experience and kind of what moms go through when their child dies. But I also wanted to have a father's perspective. I've had my husband Justin on a few times, but I really wanted to talk to somebody who wasn't my spouse, my husband, my, you know, what I know. And so I invited Dan Doughty on. So welcome on to Grieving Moms Podcast, Dan.
Hi, Megan. Thank you very much for having me. It's nice to meet you too.
Yeah, it is. We were just talking how when I do this podcast, I get to meet people that, you know, I might never meet previously or in some way. So it's really that's one thing I love about doing this podcast is just being able to have these conversations with people, especially all over the world, because you're in the UK.
I am. Correct? Yeah, I'm in England. Yeah.
Yes. So it's just like, I'm like, technology is so amazing. We can just talk with people all over the world. This is just fantastic. So can you share, since I know a little bit about your story, but obviously my listeners don't know anything about your story. Can you share who you are, kind of a little bit about your story, what you're, you know, a little bit about yourself, and then how you have come to know grief in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of years ago, myself and my partner, Katie, we decided we wanted to try for a baby. So we tried and we got pregnant quite quickly and unfortunately had a miscarriage, tried again and had another miscarriage. And then we tried again, got pregnant. Getting pregnant was absolutely fine. It was keeping that baby. And then we had a third miscarriage. So it was beginning to start to look like there might have been complications or problems. And we got pregnant a fourth time. And when that happens, you immediately start thinking of all the negative things that can happen. You don't sort of look at it in a positive way anymore because you're expecting the worst. But we went past the 12-week mark, we went past the 16-week mark, and then we got to 20 weeks and things started to look positive. We started to get excited. We found out we were having a little girl and we were really excited and started to paint the nursery, things you do normally as parents, what everybody would do. And then, unfortunately, she was born very premature, our daughter. She was born 23 weeks and 6 days old, and she was born at Birmingham Women's Hospital, where she spent 18 days there before she unfortunately passed away. Her name is Isla Rose, and she was my firstborn child, and she's who made me a father, and I'm very proud of her, and I talk about her whenever I can. But my journey is not a nice one. It's not an easy one. It's hard to talk about sometimes, even 2 years later. She was born on the 7th of March, 2021, and she passed away on the 25th of March, 2021. And grief for me has been like a roller coaster. It's been up and down, up and down. And for a long time, I kept putting it off, putting all the feelings in the back of my mind. And I think that's what a lot of guys, I believe, do. I think a lot of men put those feelings aside because they might not have anybody to talk to, or they don't feel comfortable opening up. Or for me personally, I don't think the support is there for men as much as women. And I saw that firsthand. And when we lost Isla, I became a shadow of myself. I became angry at the world. I became angry at everybody around me. I became not, I just didn't become myself. I wasn't myself anymore. And grief can do that to you. Grief can tear you down if you allow it to. It can really turn you into something that's not you. When we came back from the hospital, I had 3 weeks off work, and then I went back to work full time because I had no other choice. I had to. My partner, she was entitled to 9 months maternity leave, and she took those 9 months, and it really helped her. But I had to go back to work after 3 weeks, and I wasn't ready, but we had no choice. We had bills to pay. We had a mortgage on the house. I had to go back. And I don't think that helped me. And towards the end of 2021, it came to a point where I had to admit that I needed to talk to somebody and I needed help. Grief was just swallowing me whole, and it was destroying me. It was destroying relationships I had with my wife, with my parents, with friends. And it came to a point where I had to admit, you know, I needed to speak to somebody. Yeah, it is difficult. It's hard because there are days now still where I cry, I get upset, but I have to keep moving forward. I have to. There were days where I didn't want to live anymore, and I was like, right, that's it. No one would miss me if I went. It's just, this life isn't for me anymore. And something kept clawing me back, kept dragging me back from that brink to say, just don't do that. Just don't, just wait. Just don't do that. And I'm so glad that I didn't, because I saw firsthand what that would have done to people who love me, who are around me. And we've since had a baby boy. Our son, he's nearly 1 year old now. He was born last May, and he is the joy of my life. And he brings joy every time I see him. It's the happiest thing in the whole wide world. And to think that I could have missed out on him, just, you know, I'll never, ever do anything to jeopardize that. And he is just the best thing that ever happened to me.
You've shared so much in that. So I appreciate it. And I want to ask you some questions. But I just so appreciate your honesty and openness. Especially when we've never talked before. So I so appreciate, you know, you sharing all this stuff, because, and I love your little girl's name, Isla Rose. It's so beautiful.
Beautiful. It was a name. I always loved the name Isla. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I heard it somewhere once. I work with children myself, so I look after a lot of children, and so does my wife. She works with children. So there are a lot of names that we don't like because we hear it all the time. Yeah. One that we both liked, but when she was born, we agreed Isla was definitely the name for her.
Yeah,
I wanted to add the Rose as well.
She
wasn't Isla Rose. She was beautiful. Yeah,
beautiful. So with your experience of multiple miscarriages and then her dying at early, like coming yeah. early in pregnancy and then dying, how was the with your baby, your son, how was that whole experience?
That it was difficult because mm-hmm. after we lost Isla, my mindset was, what is the point in life anymore? If you can't have children and it's taken away from you, then what's the point? What are we here for? Why am I going to work? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing the mundane job 9 to 5 to get home to have a few hours on the weekend to just get by each year? And it's I wanted to enjoy life with children, and that was my mindset. And we spoke about having another child, but we both weren't ready yet. We both weren't ready, and we put it off for a little bit, and we just kind of tried to focus on ourselves, which I think we needed. We needed time to ourselves. We spoke to counselors individually. I try and support my wife as best I can. She's somebody that very much keeps her emotions internal and doesn't really open up as much. Whereas I'm a very emotional person, and I like to talk about how I'm feeling openly. So that can be quite difficult sometimes because it's hard to express to each other. But then as time moved on, and we sort of that experience made us stronger. It could have broke us, and there was points where we were arguing over nothing, and we were both just broken people. But in the end, it made us stronger together. And when we fell pregnant with our son, we again weren't excited, and we didn't tell anybody because we expected the worst. And instead of announcing it at the same time people usually do, we put it off. We wanted to make sure things were okay because of past experiences. We didn't buy anything because, again, we were expecting the worst. We I was petrified of the baby being a girl because I didn't want to replace Isla. I didn't want her to be born and have the clothes and the toys and the nursery that was for Isla, and it would feel like she's taken all of that away. And when we found out he was going to be a boy, it was like a sense of relief because I didn't, and it sounds horrible, but it was a relief to me because he wouldn't be replacing her in a sense. It would be completely almost as different as you could have it from Isla to a girl to a boy. And so it allowed me to at least be like, well, I won't be comparing, or I won't be. Do you know what I mean? It was like a bit of something new, something different at least. And we were very, very scared whenever we went to a scan because we'd been to scans before and were told, oh, so sorry, there's no baby, or it's there's no heartbeat and things like that. So we every scan we went to, it was horrible. And we had extra scans. Katie was able to be given more scans because of past experiences and what happened with Isla. The hospital had arranged that. But he was born full term. He was healthy, and he has hit all his milestones, and he's absolutely great. There's this really advanced baby. I think he's, almost walking and talks and babbles and claps and laughs, and he sees me coming home through the window, and he's instantly laughing and smiling and pointing at me, and it's so nice. It's like finally we have what we've always wanted, after all the things we went through and all the heartache and the pain, finally life has given us something that we deserve, and it's made us very happy. For a long time, we were also we felt guilty because if Isla hadn't have passed away, we would never have had Jackson. So there's this strange thought that we have our son, and but our daughter had to pass away in order for our son to be here, because we would never have had our son in that time frame if Isla had have come home with us. So it's a strange feeling as well.
Yeah, I think having more children or another baby after a baby dies, it brings so many like conflicting and contrasting emotions. Especially like I really appreciate you sharing about the relief you felt when you found out he was a boy. Because for you that felt better that it was different, that they were a little bit different experiences. And how we all have such different, because my daughter Aria died when she was 15 months old, and 4 weeks later I had a baby, and I was so happy I had another girl, So I had the opposite, you know, like we, I feel like
Yeah.
it, what I think is amazing is like for you, it was like, okay, this feels good. And that's what you got. You know, you were appreciative of having another boy because it created a different experience where you wouldn't be comparing all the time. Where I did compare a lot. I did have a lot of deja vu, a lot of like, oh my gosh, I had two boys and a girl. Now I have two boys and a girl again. I feel like I'm doing this all over again. The same exact thing, you know, like, but yeah, it's just, I think I love that to hear different perspectives and people's experiences and how people experience things, but also that no matter what, there's no baby that's going to replace Isla, right?
No,
and I think and you, I know you know that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like, I don't want it to sound like if Jackson had been our son Jackson, if he had been a girl, I would have not loved it. I would have loved
her.
Oh, totally.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I wasn't saying that at all.
For some reason in my grief, when I knew we were having another baby, I was petrified of it being a girl because I didn't want a girl to replace Isla, and because I knew that she would have all of the things that we had for Isla, and they're her things, and I wanted that Isla to be our girl, and I just wanted a boy. My partner, same as you, wanted another girl.
Yeah,
she desperately wants a girl, and I kind of I understand that, but for me personally, I don't know, I just really didn't want to have a baby where I felt like she was replacing her so close together, you know what I mean? It was
it
like,
totally makes sense to me
in my mind.
And I think the thing with grief, which is so interesting, is like it all makes sense to our to us inside of our grief. And then sometimes we try to explain it and we're like, I don't know, does this make sense? It doesn't really make sense, but this is how it is for me. You know, like grief is so confusing and so like it, but it makes perfect sense to me anyways. So can you share, you talked a little bit about how your wife and you were grieving in different ways and how it really kind of stressed your relationship in some ways. Can you share a little bit about how that showed up and how you have grieved differently?
I think for my wife and I, how we've grieved differently is, I think I touched on it earlier, where my wife very much keeps things inside herself, and it's not always easy to tell how she's feeling, and then all of a sudden it will all come out in one go, and that can be quite hard sometimes to understand from an outside perspective, but I've grown to understand her more and more over the years, and I can tell when something's bothering her more. For me, I'm very emotional, so things really affect me. If something like when we lost Isla, it visibly affects me, it physically affected me. I struggled to go back to work. I didn't eat properly. I just wasn't myself, and it really, really affected me badly. And I blame the world. And one thing I did do was I threw myself into being outside in the garden. When we came back from the hospital and I had those 3 weeks before I returned to work, every day I spent in the garden, gardening, cutting hedges, cutting trees, just to keep myself busy. I love being outside, and it was the one place that I could go where I was away from the whole world. I was tucked away on my own, in my own thoughts, and I cried, but it gave me that little bit of self-soothing sort of time where I could think about myself and think about my daughter and think about the time I had with her, because I didn't know it then in those 3 weeks, but I was going to blame myself a lot for what happened and think that I could have done more. It was my fault that she died. And that sort of time that I had to myself helped because it's very hard to explain unless you've lost a child yourself, and I know you have. It's very difficult for somebody who hasn't to understand those feelings. You just feel numb. You feel like the whole world is pointless. You just feel awful, and there's no feeling like it. And there are, it takes a special kind of person to lose a child, I think, and to get up in the morning and carry on with their life. I think it takes, and I've grown to be proud of myself, to appreciate myself, and I've become a better person. The experience has brought me all the way down, but it's allowed me to climb back up and to look at myself and go, you are a good person. You are an amazing person that can get through that. If you can get through that, you can get through anything. And I think if anything that it's taught me or how it's shown me how the type of person I am, it's shown that I'm more resilient and I'm more capable of things than I didn't think I was before. I said earlier that me and my partner, we both spoke to people separately, and it brought us closer together, the experience, because we talk about Isla openly. Whenever somebody asks us about our son, oh, is he your firstborn? We always say, no, he's our secondborn. We have a daughter, but she passed away. And that's the truth, because it would feel like we were robbing her of her identity if we didn't tell the truth. She was our daughter. She is our daughter. She was born. She lived. She is our firstborn. We still go and visit her where she's buried. We still talk to her. We still include her in cards. And it's, I think that helps us. That helps us by keeping her memory alive. And it helps my wife, definitely. My wife was amazing. She was the one that brought Isla into our family at home and included her in all these things, that wanted to include her with this and that, and at Christmas and birthdays, I'd get a Father's Day card from her and a birthday card from her separately and a Christmas card from her. And I think that helps my wife because she feels like this is what would have happened if she was at home with us. And so she does all that for me. I didn't even think about that sort of thing. And I think that's very much the woman, the mother caring, the mother always thinking about her children. And you know, she's a lovely person. Like I said, she works with children and she's such a gentle, kind person. And she was born to be a mother. The way she is with our son, you can just see it. And it absolutely crushed me to see her lose Isla. Because for me, as much as I was hurting and as much as I grieved, I will never understand what it's like for a woman to grow a child inside of her and then lose it. That's an experience that I will never understand. It's completely different for a man to my wife. And she gave birth to Isla and then had to see her after 18 days pass away. And I can only imagine what that's like. As tough as it has been for me, it must have been 10 times worse for her. So I think she needed that time to grieve, that those 9 months that she was given, I think she needed them. And she'd admit that openly, that she needed them. I think men and women, especially when it's grieving over a child, they grieve differently. I think we are different. Men and women are different. A lot of aspects come into play with how your background and how you're brought up. But I do think that men don't openly talk about things as much, mental health problems. They don't talk about it as much. Here in the UK, we have a lot of young men committing suicide. It's growing every year. And it's always guys that are, oh, they're so happy. They were always joking around. And then, boom, they're gone. They've left a wife and two kids behind because they couldn't talk to anybody. And that's so sad because I was very much close to that. And Women always seem to have, my wife especially, has a lot of friends always messaging her, always asking how she is, always there for her. For me, it's very different. I have friends, but it's not the sort of thing you go into, oh, can I talk about my daughter who passed away? You know, you don't go and do that. It's just not the sort of thing guys talk about, and it's very difficult. And I think that's a big difference between how we've both grieved as well.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of why I wanted to bring you on, was because I've seen that in my own husband and his experience as well, where I know, like, I have a ton of support. You know, I have in the days after Aria died, I, like, so much people would ask me how I'm doing, but not as much people would ask him.
Yeah.
And he didn't have, like, and I get it too, like, when I'm in that position, it's so much easier to go to the mother for some reason, or like, yeah. It's more like, okay, well, do they want me to ask them? I think that's the thing we think in our minds, like, do they, or are they going to be like, oh no, don't talk to me about that, you know? But because there's so many pressures or societal expectations, or I don't even know what it is, but it's like, I was just like, okay, but how can we create more support for the dad? Or how do we even push ourselves past that, maybe like unsureness of like, should I ask them? Because the worst thing that can happen is they say, no, I don't want to talk about it, you know? So it's not that big of a deal if you ask and they say, no, actually, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But can you share some of the pressures or expectations that you have felt as a man inside of grief? Because I know you've been sharing about how it's so different, and I've seen that. I've seen how it shows up different, and how, you know, my husband navigating it, and how it looks so different than mine, and maybe the pressures he felt. Can you share some of those kind of things?
Yeah,
maybe that are
of
felt
course.
Specifically to you.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that about your husband, because it sounds quite similar in the sense that yourself had a lot of support, and my wife did after we lost Isla.
Mm-hmm.
But it very much felt like I was an afterthought. It was always, how are you doing, Katie? Do you need anything? I'm always here for you. And how's Dan?
Mm-hmm.
It was always, and how's Dan? And it was lovely that everybody was asking how I was, but not many people reached out to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my parents who were great, who were always there if I need to talk to them. But outside of that, and my wife, it was very hard. It was very hard to open up to anybody. And I think one of the main stigmas, I would say, as being a man, especially in grief, is that you're sort of not expected to be emotional or expected to be weak in moments. You're expected to be the man, the strong,
mm-hmm.
silent type, the one that is supposed to bear the brunt of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
When your wife is crying and you come home from work after being at work struggling all day, and you see her distant and upset, and you know what she's been through, you don't have time to be upset. You don't have time to just sit there and not be yourself. You have to be there for them. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking seeing somebody you love go through that when you can't do anything about it. And I think just as a man, for me personally, I felt like I had to keep going. I had to keep moving forward, but I couldn't. I was really struggling to get up in the mornings, to go to work, to keep moving forward in just day-to-day mundane jobs in life, to go to family events or go out socially and to see people having a good time. And I'm sitting there thinking, why are you having such a great time, you know? And it's, you start blaming the whole world for enjoying themselves because you think everybody should be thinking about your grief, and it doesn't work like that. And I think for me, I started getting very angry and very envious and jealous of other people having fun, or if other people having babies, especially when they got pregnant. It was very much, great, you know, I don't want to see that, don't want to talk to you. And I shut myself away from some people because that's just how it was. I just didn't want to open up or talk to anybody. But I think very much as a man, when you lose a child, I can only speak from my experience because everybody's different and everybody goes through individual experiences. And from what happened to me, I did feel sometimes like I was alone. I felt like I was alone. Even with my wife, even with my family around me, I felt like there were days where I felt that if I didn't reach out to them, then no one would reach out to me, and I'm all alone in this, and I have to support myself. And that was horrible, and those were my darkest days. They really were.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. I think from my husband's perspective that he shared, he remembers like the few people who did reach out or who did personally ask him. And it's like, you can count them on one hand, basically, you know, he knows those people are so special to him. And I hear you that it's a far more isolating or alone journey because people aren't reaching out as much or people aren't asking as much. And it's just, it's so horrible and sad. And I don't know. I think that's why I wanted to have this conversation. There's just so much for a father that's different, but then like your experience is different and your connection to the child is different, but then the way you're supported after is different too.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit about, I know you already did a little bit, but I think this is something that I've heard again and again is the anger portion of it. For dads, yeah. I think this is very common in a very common experience. I think we all have our moments or times of anger. I definitely have had my own anger as well, but I feel like this is something that comes to the top a lot for men. When they're grieving, or especially watching someone you love so much go through pain and loss, and you can't do anything about it. You can't fix it. You can't change it. And then you have your own experience that you're going through. Can you share a little bit about that and kind of how, what you've been able to do to support yourself in that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anger is part of grief, isn't it? When they say like the grieving journey, anger is one of those stepping stones. And anger is such a raw emotion, and it's something that we all feel almost daily. And when you lose a child, I think it's very natural to be angry, because like I've touched on before, I was angry at the world because the world had taken my daughter away from me. And there was nobody, no matter how many times people said, oh, things happen for a reason, or, well, no, they don't. You know, I don't believe so you're saying my daughter was supposed to die. Is that what you're trying to tell me? And I didn't say that, but it's times where you have to bite your lip and not say that. And things like that can make you really angry. And I appreciate, unless you've lost a child, it's very hard because people don't know what to say. Sometimes they don't say anything at all. Sometimes they say the wrong thing and then they feel bad. And it's really hard for other people. And that's something I've had to learn as well. And I've accepted that people are trying their best when they try and talk to you about the situation. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've come full circle about. But I was very angry when it happened, when we lost Isla. I was angry at myself because I felt that I should have... I felt guilty for not being able to do something. When she was born, she was put in an incubator because of how premature she was, and she had tubes and all a machine And I couldn't even walk into the intensive care unit where the room where she was without crying and breaking down. And through those 3 weeks, it got easier and easier and easier to where near the end, I could walk in, sit down, and see her for an hour or two without crying. I would cry afterwards, but I managed to not do that. And unfortunately, because of COVID, we were only allowed to see Isla together, my wife and I, for 2 hours a day. And we were robbed of so much time with her. And that makes me so angry right now. It makes me so mad that to think that something that now we look back on, and it wasn't even that, like, wasn't even that bad in my opinion, stopped me and my wife spending time, precious, valuable time with our daughter, and she's gone now, and that time will never ever come back. And I am angry at that. I'm angry at myself because I wanted to spend more time with her. I was so nervous. I didn't know how to. I only held my daughter three times. I held her in my arms, my hands once in the incubator. I held her on my chest once. I put her on my chest and I held her for an hour before she passed away. There were only there wasn't really many times where I was able to hold her because of how vulnerable she was and the times of day and how she was struggling. So it wasn't that I was given more opportunities, but I wish that I'd have been around more to maybe push for that or to help. I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting of myself, but because I've had to learn that I did all that I could, there was nothing more that I could have done. But I was very angry at myself. And I think that's just natural that you start blaming anything you can. And the first thing you can blame is yourself because you can point at all your own flaws and all the things that you should have done. Hindsight's a great thing because, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. It's too late now. Great, you messed up. It's too late now. And it's okay if it's a normal day-to-day thing that you're looking back and I should have done this. But when you've lost a child, it's a big part of your life and anger can really seep in and take over. For a long time, I would say for almost a whole year, I was a very angry person after she passed away in March of 2021. And for almost a whole year, I beat myself up about it and I felt so guilty and I was so angry at, like I said, people getting pregnant or being happy or like enjoying themselves when I'm so depressed inside and so miserable and so upset. Seeing people so happy was so angry, so infuriating. And I've come to learn that that is life, that people do move on. People, just because people are having fun or having a good time, that doesn't mean they don't care. Doesn't mean they don't love you. It just means that they're living their life and they're there for you if you want them to be. And if you open the door, they will be there for you. And I've learned to not let anger take control of me.
Yeah, it's a very powerful emotion, anger. And
Really is.
I think the thing that like number one, even just acknowledging that it is a part of grief and it's something maybe we all experience to some degree or some level, that anger. And I know people would say, like, they're like, to me, they would tell me, like, oh, don't be angry, like trying to tell me to not be angry. And I'm like, you know, I know this is a part of grief. And so just let me be angry because I'm angry. And I
Let
actually
me
don't
be
like being
me.
angry. I don't want to be angry. I'm not
No.
like excited to be angry. It feels horrible. It's a
It
horrible,
does.
horrible place to be. It's not that I want to be angry. It's, I don't know how to not be angry. Because I'm really angry, right? All this stuff happened, and there's just no other way in that moment for you, for each of us in our own experiences to experience it. And it's like, okay, so just I don't know. And we all will process it at our own times, but I appreciate you sharing all about that.
Don't you think though, Megan, by us being so angry and it flares up all the time, and yet we can still not let that take control of us and still move on and still talk to people and allow us to move forward. I think that makes us better people. It makes us more wholehearted people and more rounded humans because we've been through an experience that has hurt us deeply, but we're still here. We're still moving forward and experiencing life. And I think that makes us better people.
I've thought of that. It broadens our experience and lens of life in a way where, when you experience something so awful, you know how awful things can be and how things are can, you know, and that you also that can expand your capacity for the other side of it too, you know, noticing the good things in your life and noticing, okay, say for anger, say you're feeling an opposite emotion that's not anger, and you're like, wow, this feels so good to feel peaceful and calm when I have felt so angry. To have this moment of calm is like you can just appreciate it so much more because you know how horrible it can be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
So can you?
appreciate those moments of joy and calmness and peace because they're special.
Yeah, they
That
really
you
are.
appreciate them so much more. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell me about the paintings you've done? I've seen them. I saw them, so a few on your Instagram, and they just look amazing. And so
Oh, thank you.
can you tell me about them?
Well, first of all, I am not a painter. I
Not a
am not a
painter. I saw
professional.
paintings.
No, I am not a professional in any way, shape, or form. So one of the things that really helped me when I was grieving, and this was, I didn't have an Instagram account when we lost Isla, and it was my wife that suggested, why don't you start an account that allows you to talk about how you're feeling? So I was like, right, okay, I'll give it a go. I'll try it out. What's the worst that can happen? So I started my Instagram account at Grieving Daddy. And it was just at the start, it was really just a place for me to just, okay, I'm feeling this way this morning. I'm gonna write about how I'm feeling. And that was it. I didn't have to engage with anybody else. I didn't have to listen to somebody telling me, you know, what how I should feel or anybody that knew me either. It was all nobody that knows me was on there. So it was great for me to be able to just vent my frustration. And through that, through Instagram, I started meeting and talking to parents who had gone through the same thing. Dads were messaging me, asking me how I was coping, who had lost children, asking me for help and for advice, asking me for advice. And I'm sitting there struggling myself and I'm thinking, I don't know, but this poor guy, I know how he's feeling and he's asking for help. So I'm going to help him. So it's allowed me to talk to people, like you said at the start, from all around the world that have lost children and also share our experiences. And while I was seeing these horrible stories of these beautiful children that have gone, it would break my heart. And I thought, I need to do something. I need to do something because I should. If I can, then I should. And I don't know why. And one day I just sat there and I thought, I'm going to paint. I've always been quite creative. I've always enjoyed drawing and getting, you know, creative with my hands. So I thought, I'll get some paints, I'll get some canvases, and I will just pick one person to start with. I asked her what she associated with her son. And I think she said, I can't remember what my first one was now. I think it was a moon, something like a moon and the color blue. So I just came up with an idea and I just did it. Sent it to her. I enjoyed doing it. It was very therapeutic for me. And she was really grateful and very thankful. And it was a way for me to do something that honored Isla, where I could do it in her name, but also give something back to parents who are feeling how I'm feeling. Something that when they open it, go puts a smile on their face or a tear and of joy, and they can, they don't have to display, I don't know if they display them, I don't know if it, if they like them, but they're grateful for them. They say thank you so much, and that means the world to me, and it's something that helps me as well through my grief. And I've done, I can't remember how many I've done now, but I've done a few. I hope to do more this year than last year. Since we had our son, it was very difficult to find time to paint whenever I wasn't, because I work full time, but whenever I'm not working, you're pretty much with the baby. It takes up a large portion of your life. So I haven't had a lot of time, as much as I would have liked to do it a lot recently, but I'm hoping now to do more. Now he's a bit older. But yeah, it's really just a place for me to, it helps with my grieving. It's therapeutic for myself. And it's just a way for me to give back to people who I know have been through some of the worst things that a human can go through.
That's so beautiful. I love when we can find different ways to honor, like you get to honor Isla and remember her and bring her forward and, you know, continue to keep her alive in that sense, you know, keep to talk about her and all of that, and you're helping others. So that's super beautiful. So I appreciate you being so honest and open and sharing from your perspective as a dad. I can't thank you enough for that.
You're welcome.
I know your experience is, you know, like from a father's perspective is so different, and all those, what we talked about, those pressures and, you know, what a man is supposed to do and be. Oh, I quickly wanted to say, now this came to my mind. I remember, like from my husband, it was like he saw me grieving. Like you shared this a little bit, and I wanted to kind of bring it forward a little bit. He saw me grieving, and for him then there was no option for him to grieve, because he had to be the rock of the family. He had to be that person who was strong for everybody, for me basically. Because I kind of fell apart. And on one hand, I'm like so grateful to him, because I don't know how do you function, you know, if both of you are completely not functioning at all. Not saying he wasn't, I am sure in so many ways he felt the same as you, you know, like where he's like, I have to be the rock, but I'm also not feeling very great myself. I feel like I'm falling apart. But like, I think now for me, as I've been in a better place, even in the past many years, been so intentional about like, okay, how do I support him? How do I make sure he's taken care of? Because he put so much down for me, especially in that first year. And so I just want to like acknowledge that part of, I know it's an expectation that can happen and it's a pressure and it's not very fair, but also from my perspective of my husband, I'm so grateful for him. And so I want to acknowledge that for you too, like the part of you that was supporting your wife and taking care of her and doing whatever, but also then Kate, I hope you're getting that, you know, taking care of yourself now and supporting yourself and getting the things you need too. It's just so complicated and confusing and whatever. I'm like trying to acknowledge that that's a huge weight, and it's a pressure that I think is very unfair. And also as the recipient of it, I was so grateful. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, definitely. It's really nice the way you talk about it, because I think sometimes it can go unnoticed. And I know a lot of men, through people I've spoken to who have lost children, that have left because it's broken those relationships. And like I said earlier, our relationship was very rocky after it happened. It was very difficult because you are broken. You are broken people. You, a part of your heart, part of your life has been torn out and thrown away, and you are left to kind of pick up the pieces, deal with it yourself. Nobody, you're not prepared for anything like this. No one prepares to lose a child. How do you cope with it? How do you move forward? How do you cope between each other? Because you don't know what's going to set the other person off, what's going to set yourself off. And yes, I was the rock for my wife. She has thanked me countless times for being there for her, but she also saved me. She, and I think it's give and take. There were times where if it wasn't for her, I would not be here. I've said that to her many times, and I owe her my life because she supported me. She's always been there for me. She's always, no matter what I've said or done, she's supported me, and it's made our relationship stronger. We've come together stronger. We got married last year on the anniversary, on Isla's first birthday. We decided to celebrate her birthday together, and we got married, and we wanted to make it a whole family celebration. And for she will share that day with us. We will share that day with her. We've had a baby boy. And it's just, I don't want to say like we're happier than we've ever been, because it's hard to say that when you've lost a child. We are really happy together. We are really happy. Our family is happy. We have lots to look forward to. And we will never forget Isla. We will never stop talking about her. She will always be a part of our lives and part of our family. We will teach Jackson about his big sister up in heaven. And it's just, unfortunately, it happened to us. And we were very fortunate that we were able to find a way through it. And I think it was just down to the fact that we supported each other when we both needed it. There were times when I knew I needed to be there for her. I just, she needs me. And there, and vice versa. There were times when she needed to be there for me.
Yeah, that is just that is a huge part of how you make it through. I think as a grieving couple, because it's, you're not I think there's times where I expected Justin to be like in a deep grief wave at the same time as me, where he's not, but he could be in a better place to support me, where, and then all of a sudden he's in a grief wave and I'm feeling pretty good. And then I'm like, whoa, 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 what's going on here? I'm good right now in this moment. And then it's like, okay, but that's my time to be with you now. So I appreciate you sharing that. So I want to wrap up. At the end, I always ask these same questions. So, what is one thing you could offer to someone who is struggling and feels really alone in their pain?
I would say to that person that you are not alone. No matter how dark your day is, no matter how much you find yourself isolated from the world around you are not alone. There are people that have been through what you've been through, and they are still here. And there are people that love you. There are people that do not want to see you get hurt. And the best thing you can do is talk. Talk about how you're feeling. Open up. And that is hard. That is easy to say. Some people, especially men, have no one to talk to, or they struggle. But it might surprise you, by just talking to a guy, somebody that you're close with, how much you might have in common, how much they're struggling too about other things. Just talk, open up. You are not alone. You are loved. Don't ever think that you're not.
Yeah, I love that. What is one book that has encouraged you and helped you, if any?
I wouldn't say that there's any, I haven't read any book since we lost Isla. I haven't read anything that's been meaningful for me. However, I have, what has encouraged me is reading other people's stories, seeing other people's journeys, reading what happened to their children, what they've been through. I've read these horrible ordeals that parents have had to go through, and it's given me hope. And it was one of the things that helped me when I lost Isla, when I got onto Instagram, seeing all these other parents who reached out and, you know, speaking to them about their children and about Isla, it allowed me to realize I'm not alone. Wow, this happens to a lot of people. And if they can get through this, that what they went through, if they can get through that, I can get through this. I can do it. So it encouraged me to see how others were coping and how they inspired me.
I totally hear you on that. I feel like I needed to hear how other people navigated it and were able to learn to live again in some shape or form or fashion. Yeah. To be like, okay, maybe, just maybe I might be able to laugh again freely someday. You know, not right now, but maybe someday. So yeah, I appreciate that. So Dan, how can people connect with you and follow along with you?
Yeah, so I think I said earlier, I'm on Instagram, at Grieving Daddy is my name. I'm on there. I post about Isla, how I'm feeling, paintings that I do for people, and about my son, just my life. Yeah, that's how people can reach out. If you're a guy and you're struggling, send me a message. I talk to guys from all around the world, Australia, the US, Canada, Europe, who for some, I don't know how, but they've seen me on Instagram, like you found me, and they've seen my story and they've just, you know, told me about their children. It's so nice to talk to other guys because very much you realize you have a lot in common. You start to realize, yeah, I have those feelings. I have those days, you know, and yeah, reach out to me on there or follow me on there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll for sure link that in the show notes so people can easily find you.
Again,
thank you so much for being so open and honest. And I just really, I really appreciate it. I think this is going to be so beneficial, even for most of my listeners are mothers, but I think for them to hear a father's perspective when they might be struggling with their relationship, or, you know, like when you're grieving so differently and you're like, whoa, how do we navigate this together? I think it's really helpful to hear how a father might grieve differently and how maybe what, you know, it doesn't always show up too. I know you said you things do show for you a lot more, but like for a lot of guys too, like it doesn't show. You have no idea what they're feeling until you're like, whoa, you're sad. You don't look sad at all, like that kind of thing. So it,
absolutely. I think men definitely tend to, you kind of think, you don't know, women go, oh, why didn't you ever talk to me? Or why didn't you ever express any feeling?
Yeah.
For me, I do tend to express how I feel more, but that is quite a common trait in men. And
yeah,
then you don't know how they're feeling. And it might be that that brother, that friend, that father, that husband, partner, boyfriend, whatever, is really struggling inside.
Yeah.
And just an arm around the shoulder and asking him, are you okay? You can talk to me, you know? You can tell me how you're feeling. I'm here for you. Might actually save his life, might actually change his entire outlook, because he might not know that. And it might seem silly. He might, oh, he knows he could. Might not. He might not know that he can open up and really open up on how he's feeling.
Yeah.
I just want to say one last thing, Megan, before I go, if I can. I just want to say to everybody, I lost my daughter, and I think it's the worst thing that a human can go through, losing a child. But I want to end on a positive and a high. Life is too short. You only get to spend a short amount of time on this planet and then you're gone. Enjoy your life. Find something you enjoy and do it. Live life to the full. Do all the experiences that your children that are gone never got to. And just enjoy yourself and be around the people that make you happy and do the things that make you happy.
I love that, Dan. Thank you. I agree, and I think there's nothing like death or child loss or loss that will kind of bring that to the forefront. At least it has for me as well. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, no, thank you for having me, Megan. It's been really nice to be able to talk about Isla and my experience. I really appreciate it.
If you like this podcast and have found it helpful, I want to invite you to come check out Grieving Moms Haven. This is my monthly community for grieving moms, where you can learn positive coping mechanisms, find a safe space with others who understand, and learn lifelong skills that support you as you learn how to carry this weight of grief in your life. There are group coaching calls where we do guided meditations, tapping meditations, breath work, and just talk, knowing that everyone in the group is also walking the path of child loss. You can come check out Grieving Moms Haven at www.grievingmomshaven.com.